Drive with Jack, ABC Radio Perth.
I'll be honest with you, I can't wait for tea tonight. A small piece of salmon, three tiny spears of asparagus, and while part of me thinks that's not enough, that's not how I want to live. For now at least, though, fasting a couple of days a week does represent a path to living lighter, and that's a good thing. And I'm sure I could ask you if you have been doing something similar or if you are fasting, and I would imagine there are lots of you who have done so. Because from my point of view, at 57, despite getting plenty of exercise and a fair amount of good intention, the fat is hard to shift. So I've also been wary of getting hangry today, and that means getting a little snappy or sulky with my work colleagues simply because I'm hungry, as distinct from being snappy and sulky on any other day. Professor Zane Andrews is from Monash University, and he studies how food and the lack of food affects our brains and our behaviour. Zane, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Jeff.
Very nice to have you on board. Do you ever get hangry, Zane?
Yeah, I think we all do. And to be honest, I think it's an adaptive approach to make sure that we seek out food when we have to find food, to prevent starvation, basically.
Now, that's on a more profound level than me just trying to shed a few pounds.
Yep.
So give me a scientific explanation of what hangry is, because I know that you're interested in metabolic neural circuits, how they detect hunger and hyperglycemia and regulate stress and motivation circuits and link states of hunger with mood and motivation. But could you just explain it in simpler terms for me?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the key things is that we don't want to starve. And of course, our brains have evolved to make sure that we promote and make sure that we go out and find food. And if one of those things is to make us feel a little grumpy or a little hangry, I should say, then that's actually a good thing. It's actually recognizing that our bodies don't have enough energy stored and telling us to go out and seek food. And when you get that food, you eat the food and you remove that hanger state. So it's a little bit like motivation through negative reinforcement. It's like being told to not do something rather than positively reinforced to do something.
My hanger is probably about my need for a sandwich, really, isn't it, rather than how my colleagues are behaving. And I think that's what happens when people get hangry. They start looking for other reasons justification of that anger when it is just the fact that I need a sandwich.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be aware of your own body and just to say, okay, how's this going for me, and can you write it out? For example, you were saying that you were doing this 7-2 or 5-2 diet.
Yeah,
did I hear that correctly?
That's it.
So we have biological rhythms. And of course, one of the biological rhythms is food intake. We have been trained to have breakfast at a certain time, at lunch at a certain time, and dinner at a certain time. And of course, we have biological signals coming from our body to our brains at just before lunchtime to say, hey, you're about to have some lunch, getting a little bit hungry, this is good. But if food doesn't come along when it's expected, all of a sudden that signal turns into a negative signal. It says, hey, I was expecting food. You didn't give me food. Now I'm about to get grumpy.
So, Zane, what do you think of the fact, and we're not here to promote diets because there are so many of them, but in the last decade or so, we have been talking more about the effectiveness of fasting, of going quite long periods without having those meals. We seem to have really embraced that idea, and on the basis of, you know, historically or by need or circumstance, people have had to do that. Do our brains and bodies see that as a good and sensible thing to do?
It's a double-edged sword, I would say. When our brains sense that we're constantly starving or fasting, what they do is they adapt to make sure that when food does come along, that our bodies put on more weight than perhaps they would otherwise. And so that's kind of behind this idea that constant dieting makes you fat. I'm not sure if you've heard about this, but there is this notion out there, and there's a lot of scientific evidence, including twin studies, where they've looked at the twins, and the one that has had a history of dieting, they are the ones more likely to put on fat. And that's because when you diet, when you restrict yourself, your brain goes, hang on, I haven't got enough energy. I better change my metabolism so that when food does come along, I'll store more of it as fat. So that's kind of the negative side of things. The positive side of things is, yes, it would be good if you can maintain it, because when you fast, you do a lot of great, important, beneficial things in your body. You start to liberate some of the fatty acids that are stored in your fat tissue.
There's a few of those, Zane, I can tell you.
Yeah, and so that's a good thing. So I think the message is you have to stick at it, and that's really where it's difficult for a lot of people.
Zane Andrews, thank you very much for speaking to me.